Amen. Take your Bible, Psalm 127. We're glad you're here today. Thank you for coming. Thank you for visitors. Glad you come out. And this is kind of a hard place to find sometimes, but we're glad to have you here today. God has a recipe for marriage, and God has a recipe for a happy home, and God has a recipe for a happy lives. It's all in this book that you hold in your lap today. God has given us the Word of God that we can live by. And the Bible says there in Psalm 127, verse 1, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." Some people live in houses. Some people live in homes. I hope you mamas make those homes good. Now, guys, you can just forget about it. Don't listen. I'm going to talk to your wife today, man. I'm going to talk to ladies today. You can listen if you want. But it's pretty much going to be to the ladies today. I'll skin your hide in Father's Day, man. But anyway, "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain." According to the Word of God, we are to put all our labors in building a good home. But it'll never work unless your home is fashioned and built after godly biblical principles. The Bible says in Psalm 128, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thy hand. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee." Boy, there's nothing like things being well with you. "Thy wife shall be like the fruitful vine by the side of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel." In the Word of God, we find a formula for a happy home. First of all, blessed happiness comes from the mother that reverences her God. Fearing the Lord comes from an inmost attitude and an innermost heart perception. She will show it by her outward walk. You will walk a godly walk outwardly if you fear God inwardly. If you are the mother of the home today, and you were given a test how you fear God, how would you score? How would you do spiritually? For the Bible says when a mother fears the Lord, God promises a blessing. If you go over to Deuteronomy chapter 11, the Bible says in verse 18, God said that there are two things that she has to do. One, she needs to read the law, the Word of God, the precepts, the scriptures. Two, not only read them, but she needs to keep them. The Bible says in verse 18, "Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for signs upon your hand, that they may be the frontlet between thine eyes, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking to them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gate, that your days may be," listen to this, "that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land of the Lord swear unto your father to give them, and the days of the heaven upon earth, as the days of heaven upon earth." God said, let me tell you something, ladies. If you teach these children, and when you're sitting with them, and when you're walking with them, and when you're just wherever you're at, he said, "I will give you heaven on earth." I don't know about you, but it's an amazing thing when you see these parents teaching their children, their mothers reading scriptures. When I was a little boy, when I was just a baby, my mama said that she used to read to me when she was carrying me. And then when she then of course when she had me, she seen that she really needed to read to me and pray to me for me. I'm surprised they had any more children after me. But anyway, and She taught me the Word of God and taught me the Psalms. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in that law of the Lord. In that law doth he meditate day and night, and on and on. Psalm 8, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent. I don't forget those. Those scriptures are embedded into my brain because my mother taught me the scriptures as a little child. Oh, the presence that you have. Ladies, I know that life is very busy for you when you have these children. You know, isn't it amazing? It takes you 3 to 4 hours to clean your house. It takes you about 5 seconds to tear it up again. Amen. It's incredible how kids can just devastate your home. And I mean to tell you, it looked like a tornado went through there. Amen. Good night. Pick that up. And finally you just say, I'll just pick it up because it takes me more time to yell at them and pick it up. I'll just pick it up myself. Amen. Mm-hmm. Where do I find time to read the scriptures to my children? Where do I find time? It's a wonderful thing that you can sit down with your child and read the scriptures, you know, or lay down with them, taking a little nap with them. But anyway, you find time. You work at time. You have to, because I'll tell you what, we have a generation that we call the millennials. There's a lot of families that turn the TV on and walked away and let their TV teach the kids. Taught them how to count, like Count Dracula, the Cookie Monster, and all those other things, you know. I don't think they're so bad, but I think that it's certain to be better if the mama would turn the TV off and give them good instructions of the Word of God. Let me read you something else. For if ye shall diligently, hear that now? Diligently, that means you keep at it. Diligently keep all these commandments which I commanded you to do them, to love the Lord your God and to walk all his ways and to cleave unto him. Note Deuteronomy chapter 11, 26 and 28. But if you listen to the law and do not keep it, God says, I will curse you. If you listen to the law and keep it, I will bless you. Deuteronomy 11, verse 26, behold, I set before you the day of the blessing and the curse, the blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord God, but turn aside out of the way which I have commanded this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. Listen, let me tell you something. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is life. Christianity is a life of promise. Christianity is not a life of threats. Mother, let me ask you this question. Why did you come to Jesus? Well, Jesus came to me to seek and to save me. I was lost. That's right. And when he came to you, you turned to him because of his promises, not because of his threats. So mothers will be blessed when she comes to God, and so not only will she be blessed, but her husband will be blessed, and her children will be blessed if she follows the Word of God. Sounds like you ladies are very important. Amen. I heard one president said the person that rocks the cradle rules the world. Joshua said in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, and if it seemed evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If the mother and her house will serve the Lord in total submission to God, in total devotion to God, and in total dependence of God, God promised to bless you and your family. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for something to bless it. I want God to bless my home. I want God to bless my my family. I want God to bless my children's children. I'm begging God constantly, Lord, please be with my sons. God, be with their wives. Be with their children. God, would you please do something great in their hearts and their life, that you would call them close to you. You say, that's a pretty selfish prayer. No, it's not a selfish prayer. That's a great prayer. That's a prayer that each one of us should be praying. Every morning we get up, we ought to pray for our families. We ought to pray for our children. We ought to pray that God would give us wisdom what to feed them. And God give us wisdom. I pray this all the time. Oh, God, what am I going to put on her today? That's a big deal of it. What am I going to feed? How am I going to feed her? What? That's a big prayer. Secondly, blessed happiness comes from the mother if she's obedient to the rules of love. Love is a responsibility. God tells us to love one another. It's our responsibility. Sometimes it's very easy to love certain people. Some people are just, you know, they're just kind of like got honey all over them. They're just easy to love. And then there's other people that, you know, they're hard to love. But God gives us a responsibility that you must love others. Why? Because Jesus loved us all. You know what's amazing? This is always amazing to me as I vision in my mind, standing there looking up to the cross of Jesus Christ, and he's hanging there and he's dying, and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He is saying, God, forgive these people. They don't ask for, did anybody ask for forgiveness when they crucified Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. But he still forgave them. It is our responsibility to love. It must be constantly maintained. Love is not based on physical attraction. Love is based on, I love you so much that I will sacrifice all for your comfort and security. You wives, you get that point in your life where you say, you know what? I'm going to sacrifice everything I have for that big old brood of mine that I call husband. I'm going to give up my comfort for his comfort. Let me tell you something. You'll have the greatest marriage in the world. A greatest marriage is this, that the husband says the same thing. I will give up all my comforts. I will give everything I have to make sure that she's comfortable. Love is not based on physical attraction. It's not based on physical attraction. The world's quote-unquote love is based on physical attraction. But true love is not built on physical attraction. Love is based on, I love you so much that I will sacrifice my all for your comfort and security. I was up on the Blackfeet Reservation up in Star School, and we were having Vacation Bible School, and my wife was working at Shields at that time, and I got a phone call from her on the pastor's phone, and she said, honey, I don't know what to do, and she was kind of crying. I said, what's going on? She said, well, I got a message on my answering machine. I think Chad probably remembers that. And somebody got an answering machine and said some real bad things on it. I want you to know I was dead tired. I'd been working up there and staying up late and getting up early and doing a lot of stuff. And I told that preacher, I said, I'll be right back. And I went and jumped in my car and I drove like Jehu, the Bible says. Jehu, you know, he drives furiously. I drove like Jehu all the way home. And I won't tell you that it didn't take very long to get here from Browning. But I walked in the door and she just, what are you doing here? I thought you said you were upset. She said, well, I was, but you know how Mama was and is. True love says, I will risk anything for their comfort. I see a lot of ladies in our church that do that for your husband. God bless you, dear ladies. God bless you. God bless you, dear ladies, that your husband goes out in the military, leaves, come back and leaves and come back and leaves and come back and leaves. God bless you folks. By the way, fathers, you have one option in marriage, and that is love your wife, God said. Husband, love your wife even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Husband, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Love is an order and is to be obeyed. You older women of our church, you're to teach the younger women to be sober. Teach younger women to love their husband. Teach the younger women to love their children. Boy, what our country would be today if we could get to mamas that really love their children. Amen. The Apostle Paul wrote in Titus that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husband, to love their children. Christian love is a characteristic of the love of Christ. As a mother, you know that each person in your family have distinct needs. Everyone are different. I was just up in Canada, and Brother Bugan's got five girls. Five girls. I said, Jason, you're going to be the biggest spoiled man in the world. He said, I already am. I was watching those little ants in the house. He sits down, one's rubbing his back, one's taking his shoes off. I mean, they're just constant. I said, what is this? That's not what my boys might get yourself. I mean, that's the way boys are, you know. These girls, boy, Marjorie, we really messed up not having girls, I'll tell you. Thank God for our daughter-in-laws. But, hey, listen to me. As a mother, you know each one of these children in the family have distinct needs. One, you can be kind of tough on. Another one, you got to just look at them and they roll over and, they're just so different a family. They need to hear I love you. They need to hear I appreciate you. You need to tell your husband that he's the best husband in the world. You need to say to your husband, please. And you need to say to your husband, thank you. And you need to teach your children to be polite. Instead of expecting it, they need to appreciate it. That's a mom's job. You must develop your attitude to meet their need. And you develop your spirit and live in sacrificial giving. That's what changes your children. By the way, that'll change your husband too. Your job is saying, I'm going to protect my family. I'm going to provide for them. I'm going to build them up and I'm going to take care of them. Listen to what the Proverbs, the wisest man in the world wrote in Proverbs 31. Would you turn there and look in your Bible? Proverbs 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall not have need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willing with her hands. I heard somebody say, well, ladies just supposed to stay home. Are you kidding me? Ladies work hard. Come on. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth food from afar. She rises up also while it is night and giveth her meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. Get that? This is talking about a lady. She considereth the field and buyeth it. What's wrong with that? You know, I think sometimes people forget that there's a lot of ladies out there, a lot smarter than some of us guys. God said the man is to be the head of the house. He is supposed to be the ruler of that home. But good night, if you see something that she can do better than you do, let her do it. Amen. Go right ahead, baby. I'll be honest with you. I kept up the finances of our church, but I didn't do too much of the finances of my home. Because Marcia is a bookkeeper. Three-time Shields National, she won the National, the most accurate bookkeeper for all the stores of Shields. So why would I be doing my checkbook when she can take a 10 key and sparks come off her fingers, man, that thing. I've never seen you like it in my life.
He said, but you need to rule the house. I was. You don't have to be a tyrant. Oh, I said I wasn't going to preach at you guys, wasn't I? Sorry. She considered the field and buyeth it. Thank God for ladies can see a good field and buy the thing. Amen. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth vineyards. She girdeth her loins. That means put the belt on with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. She's a good, she's an inspector. Amen. Her candles go out by night. It goes not out, but what they say, men's work is from day, sun to sun. Woman's work is never done. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she stretcheth forth her hands to the needy. Oh, talk about a lady of compassion, amen. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself clothing of tapestry, and clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gate, and when he sitteth among the elders of the land, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth the girdles unto the merchants. Sounds like this gal's a busy gal. And so are you. Strength and honor are her clothing. And she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, boys and girls, and husbands. Listen to that wife. She opens her mouth with wisdom and her tongue with a law of kindness. Ladies, be careful. Make sure you're kind about it. She looketh well the ways of her household, and she is not bred of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Don't forget about that, children. Don't forget about that husband. Many daughters have done virtually, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman that heareth the Lord. How does she hear the Lord? She reads His Word of God. She sits and listens to God. She shall be praised. Gentlemen, children, listen now. Give her the fruit of her hands. And let her own works praise her in the gates. Thirdly, blessed happiness comes from the mother who turns to trust in the Word of God to rule her home. The Word of God is the authority of the local church. The pastor is given the authority to carry out the dictates of the Word of God. Your husband is given the leadership of your home, but the Word of God is the authority of the home, same as the pastor has authority to the local church of the Word of God. You must obey the Word of God as your husband leads the Word of God. Just as the local assembly, your church must follow the man of God. Hardship and headship and rank, it carries its responsibility. It does not mean he is superior in intelligence, though the world says he don't know nothing. The leader is to take opinion from each other and weigh it by the Word of God and discuss it and then act. Leadership is not based on democracy. Homes are not a democracy because democracy is mob rule. If the church and our homes is Christian, therefore, without question, it's a theocracy. God is the head. I heard a commentator say the other day, he said, well, they're just trying to make a theocracy out of America. What's the problem with that, amen? Having God lead us, amen? Husband and wife are a team. In life, we have lots of competition. But husband and wife are never to be in competition with each other. We either both lose or we both win. It's not a competition. All our life needs to be governed on theocracy.
Mothers establish and maintain godly priorities. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all the things that he must have the preeminence and priority, God must rule the home. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that all things he might have the preeminence. And last, in matters questionable, mothers always should take the strongest position. In the matter of taste, go with the current. In the matter of principles, stand as a rock, mama. Like they say, always boil when in doubt. If it smells good, if it smells bad, throw it away. If it smells good, eat it. If it's blue color, mold on the meat, throw it away. If it's white mold on the cheese, throw it out. Anyway, that's what they used to say. Amen. The happiest purpose in this world is a mother who teaches her children to obey all those who are in authority. He that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. I understand. I'm reading this. How come they never said about the girls, the little girls? How come it's always the guys that are always getting the spanking on? Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, so here you go, him, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod. There you go again. Thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. The rod and reproof giveth wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. Oh, my. Mamas, make sure you know where your children are at all time. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of the holiness. Now no chastening, for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous, nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that exercise thereby. It's a lot of work to be a mama. But the promises are out of this world. Dear ladies, happy Mother's Day. May God bless you in a great way. May God use you and your husband and your children in a magnificent way to serve him. I promise you, according to this holy book, God says, I will bless you if you keep what I tell you to do. Father, I pray you'd help us today. Thank you for our ladies of our church. Thank you for those who have children. Thank you for those that don't have children. Thank you those that are married, those that are not married. Thank you those that have given their life to serve you in a great way. Lord, I pray you'd help us to live more like you. Help us, Lord Jesus, to walk like you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the mothers that we had who took us by the hand and led us in the ways of salvation and righteousness. Led us to serve you and to give our hearts to you, taught us the Holy Scriptures. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for mamas that lived the Bible more than we even read it. Lord, I pray you'd bless. Lord, I pray today if there'd be anyone here today. Maybe there's some mother way away from here, miles and miles away there, but they've been praying. But she's been praying for her son or for her daughter or for her grandson or for her granddaughter. She's been praying that they would trust you as their Savior. God, wouldn't it be a wonderful day that today, on the day of Mother's Day, that they trusted you as their Savior. Lord, there may be some here that their mother prayed and prayed, and now she's gone to glory. Lord, I pray today that her prayers would still be answered, that they'd trust you as their Savior. Had your bowed eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. You're here today and say, Preacher, I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. You know, there has not been a time that I've just stopped and bowed my head to a holy God and told him, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And because of my sins, I owe a terrible price. I've never done that. And I'd sure like to do that today. I'd like to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. While you're sitting there, you can pray that prayer right now. Say, just pray this prayer. Say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right here, right now, at this spot. You're here today and say, preacher, I prayed that prayer today. Would you lift your hand? Let me thank God for you. God bless you. Is anyone else? God bless you. Anyone else? That's a wonderful thing. Ask Jesus in your heart. Boy, it's a wonderful thing. God bless you. In a moment, we're going to give a time, what we call the invitation time. You've not been in church very often or been in our church. We have everybody stand. If you're here today and you prayed prayer and you asked Jesus Christ to come in your heart, I want you to step out of that seat, walk down, meet me in the front. I'll show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that you died today, you go to heaven. What a wonderful truth. What a wonderful promise that God gives us. God loved you so much, He died on the cross. His Son died on the cross for you, that you'd have everlasting life. What a wonderful promise God has. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pianist is going to play.